Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to For the Cause of Christ. And I'm not Pastor John Lutz. I'm Pastor Al Davis sitting in for Pastor Lutz. Pastor Lutz was unable to make it in this afternoon, and he gave me a call a little bit ago and asked if I would be willing to sit in for him here today on his program. And so here I am. And of course, some of you know me from our program, Live with Pastor Al, that starts at 1:30 right here on this station. And I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And you can find out more about that if you stay tuned for our our program at 1:30. And today I just wanted to kind of fit in a little bit with Brother Lutz's program. He does more of a Bible study, and I do a Bible study as well as have phone calls where people can call in, and we'll be doing that at 1:30. So I just can give you a kind of a plug there at 1:30 when we go into my program Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call with questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'll be opening up those phones, giving out the numbers a little later on. But for now, I want to just share a little study with you that probably will continue on maybe into the next half hour, because there's a lot there in some of the topic that I want to talk about today. We're looking at a lot of things happening in the world today. People are asking questions, talking about Bible prophecy, talking about could the Lord return this year. People talk about the blood moon tetrad that has been bandied about quite a bit lately. There you've probably heard of the Shemitah year and things of that nature. And I wanted to look at something here today. In Leviticus chapter 23 is where we'll kind of start. In Leviticus chapter 23, God lays out a series of seven feasts. They're seven feasts, and they're set up so that there's four of them, which are the spring feasts, and then there's a kind of a break for the summer, and then the last three of the seven feasts are the autumn feasts. And this is kind of interesting. We had done a study at our church on this a little bit ago, probably about a year or so ago, and we found some very interesting things looking at these feasts that have to do with Bible prophecy. And there's some other information that I've been looking at lately, and I thought this is a good time since the fall feasts are about to begin. The first of the fall feasts, of course, will begin in September. On September 14th, if you look in your calendar, says that it's Rosh Hashanah, but it actually starts, I believe, at sunset on September the 13th. You have to remember, when you look at some of the days and some of the things that are given in the scripture, they're going by the Jewish way of timekeeping. And a lot of people don't realize that even though our day starts at midnight, runs from midnight until midnight, that's how we reckon the day. So Sunday would be the first day of the week. You know, Saturday night at midnight, Sunday starts, and then it runs until Sunday night at midnight, and then Monday starts the second day of the week. But on the Jewish calendar, the first day of the week starts at sunset on Saturday, and it runs until sunset on Sunday. And then at sunset on Sunday, the second day of the week starts, and it runs until sunset on the following Monday. And so that's how they have that reckoned. They get that from Genesis chapter 1, where it says in the evening and the morning were the first day, and so on during the 6 days, actually the 7 days of the Genesis week of creation. And so they followed that down through the years. And another thing to point out, too, in understanding some of the biblical timekeeping, just while we're on the subject of the day, before the invention of clocks, the way of reckoning time was from sunrise, that would have been 6 in the morning. It didn't matter where you were. It didn't matter what time of the year it was. The sun rose, that was the 6 o'clock hour, and that would have been the first hour of the day, because see, the sun is up now, it's daytime. And then, of course, noon would have been obviously the the sixth hour of the day, and then 6 o'clock in the evening would have been, it would have been when the sun was straight up ahead. That would be noon, the sixth hour of the day. And then, of course, the 12th hour of the day would be at sunset, which would be 6 p.m. And then, likewise, the night was divided into 12 hours as well. And so that's where we get to those hours. In fact, when Jesus was on the cross, and it says on the ninth hour that he cried out and he gave up the ghost, that would have been 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I remember from sunrise at 6 a.m. Till 3 p.m. would be 9 hours. So with some of those things in mind, it helps when you understand some of these Levitical feasts. And so let's go over to Leviticus chapter 23 here. And in Leviticus chapter 23, the Bible says, and starting verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts." Now, he goes on to give some descriptions of how these feasts would be set up. He says, 6 days shalt work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, and holy convocation shall do no work therein. It is a Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Now, as he's saying here, the 6 days of work, and then the seventh day, which started Saturday, seventh day started on Friday at sunset and ran until Saturday at sunset, is the seventh day of the week. And that was the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath. And that's a weekly thing. But now he comes down here in Leviticus 23 and verse 4. "These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons." And the first one we see here in verse 5, in the 14th day of the first month at even, is the Lord's Passover. Now that's the first one. Then the second feast is found in verse 6. "On the 15th day of the same month is a feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread." It goes on to describe the second feast there, the feast of unleavened bread. Then we come to the third, and that's first fruits. We find this in verse 10, where he says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest." And then it continues on, talking about the first fruits. Then we come to the last of the spring feasts, and that's in verse 15. "You shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord." Now this is the Feast of Pentecost. And then, of course, there's a break here. And then we come down to verse number 24, and it says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation." This is the Feast of Trumpets. And let me point something out there. You notice it said you'll have a Sabbath. These feast days, these 7 feast days, are referred to as Sabbaths. They're high Sabbaths, as opposed to the weekly Sabbath. And sometimes they would occur on the seventh day of the week in conjunction with the weekly Sabbath. Sometimes, such as when Jesus was crucified, the Sabbath of the Passover Sabbath was a few days, probably on Wednesday that week. And then, of course, John called that properly a high Sabbath when Jesus was crucified as our Passover lamb. And then, of course, you had the weekly Sabbath on Friday. But these 7 feast days, whatever day of the week they occurred on, they were Sabbath days. So here's the Feast of Trumpets, also known as Rosh Hashanah. And then we come to verse 27. It says, "Also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a Day of Atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." This is the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur. And then, of course, the 7th one, the final of the 7 feasts, the final of the fall, autumn feasts, is in verse 34. And this is the Feast of Tabernacles, or Booths, as it's called sometimes. He says in verse 34, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles, for 7 days unto the Lord. Now, these are the seven feasts, and obviously there's other days that have been added to the Jewish calendar, such as Hanukkah and Purim and things of that nature. But these are the seven Levitical feast days here in Leviticus chapter 23. And they're given there with a tremendous meaning to remind Israel of the things that God had done. But they're also there with some tremendous prophetic implications that we can see. And to see this, let's take a look at what's happened in the past, okay? We had the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we can see from the Sabbath days that when Jesus came the first time, with the Levitical feast days, we can see that Jesus fulfilled the prophetic implications of the spring feast days. And this is important because many people believe that if Jesus fulfilled the prophetic implications of the spring feast days in his first coming, that he will fulfill the prophetic implications of the autumn feast days in his second coming. And I saw an interesting chart listing some of this. You can find some great information. I've got it listed on our website at our Facebook page. You can find that if you go to our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And follow the link to our Facebook page for Live with Pastor Al. And I've been working on Facebook, still trying to learn how to navigate everything there. But if you're on Facebook, you can find us. We have our page Live with Pastor Al, and I have some of this information linked there. But when you go there, you can find a link to a website called PrayForZion.org. It's pray, P-R-A-Y, and then the number 4, and then Zion, Z-I-O-N.org, PrayForZion.org. And he has a great thing there dealing with some of these feast days. You can explore the site. There's several things here. This one particular that I have linked is called The Last Three Fall Feasts of the Lord. And there's a chart here that I wish I had when we were doing this at our church, going through the feast days, the Levitical or feast days here. And he has a chart of these biblical holidays, and he has it divided into the spring and the fall holidays. And on the spring side, of course, there's Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost. And then there's a break, and then there's the fall holidays, trumpets, Day of Atonement, and tabernacles. And here's the thing. Passover is an interesting thing. As I mentioned, I was talking about this a few minutes ago, Jesus was our Passover lamb, and he was born to die. He was born to be sacrificed. And I won't take the time to turn over there, but in the Old Testament, in the book of Micah, of course, you can find that Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem. And also in the book of Micah, it talks about a tower that was near Bethlehem, and I believe it's about an hour's walk from Bethlehem, where Levitical priests would be serving as shepherds, and they would oversee the birth of lambs that could be used as Passover lambs in Jerusalem. And they would inspect the lambs in this structure that they had, and they would bring them in. They would check the lambs, make sure that they were perfect, without blemish, and they would wrap them up in a cloth, and then they laid them basically in a manger to keep them from being injured and keep them separate from the other lambs, knowing that these would be Passover lambs. I believe those are the priests that the angels appeared to when Jesus was born. And remember, the angels said that the sign would be that they would find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And when these Levitical shepherds traveled to Bethlehem and they saw Jesus lying in the manger wrapped in swaddling clothes, it was a very visual sign to them, just as they had been certifying these lambs were the Passover lambs, wrapping them in a cloth and lying them in a manger-like structure. They saw the Lamb of God wrapped in swaddling clothes, very similar fashion, laid in a similar manger structure. And you can see why that would be a special sign to these shepherds that this was the Messiah. Now, also remember John the Baptist, when he introduced Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And that even goes back to Abraham, when Isaac asked, "Where's the lamb?" And God had challenged Abraham, "Are you willing to sacrifice your son if I ask you to?" You know, basically the idea was trusting that he would return him back to life, because Isaac was the son of promise. And as Abraham had Isaac there and was prepared to sacrifice him, and Isaac was saying, "Where's the lamb?" He said, "Well, God will provide himself a lamb." And then God stopped Abraham, of course. He just wanted to see how much he valued his son as opposed to the promise of God, and how strong his faith was. And God did indeed provide a lamb for the sacrifice, but you can also read into that that God would provide himself as the lamb. God would provide himself a lamb. And, of course, he did in the person of Jesus Christ. And some people say, "Well, why did Jesus have to die on the cross?" He had to die for the same reason that the Passover lamb had to die. It was a way to escape the wages of sin, which is death. And at time's sake here, I'd like to spend more time on the Passover, but unfortunately, in the space of a half-hour program, I can only kind of touch on this. But Jesus came as our Passover lamb. His purpose was to go to the cross. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't an accident. He didn't upset too many people and then go to the cross. And because he was God, people say, "Well, if he was God, how could he have allowed himself?" Well, because he was God, he allowed himself so that he could take our sins upon himself. Jesus, I believe, died at the very time, the ninth hour of the day of the preparation of the Passover, on the day before the Passover Sabbath. Remember, John in his gospel said that they wanted him off the cross because the next day was a high Sabbath, and that would have been the Passover Sabbath that week. Jesus died on the cross in the ninth hour of the day, the time the Passover lambs were being slain. And so Jesus was our Passover lamb. And so you can see where Passover, the celebration of Passover, which started, of course, back in Egypt when they were called to sacrifice a lamb. Otherwise, the firstborn in each house would be slain when the death angel passed over. But when they saw the blood, the death angel passed over. Well, the wages of sin is death. And we trust Christ as our Savior. The blood of Christ is applied to the doorposts of our heart, and death passes over us in the sense that we're no longer going to have to pay the penalty of death, which Jesus Christ did when he died for us to pay for our sins as he shed his blood on the cross. So that's Passover, Jesus' death. Well, unleavened bread, of course, then represents the burial of Christ. And we may touch on some of these things in a little more detail if we have a chance coming back here. But that pointed to sinless life, and making him the perfect sacrifice that his body could be given for us. And of course, he said that he gave his body to be sacrificed for us. So the unleavened bread pictures the burial of Christ, and you can see where Jesus has now fulfilled Passover and unleavened bread. And then first fruits, the resurrection of Christ. On the first day of the week, Jesus rose from the dead. We know from the scripture it was before the sun came up, and it was prophetically fulfilled in the resurrection of Christ, prophetically the first fruits there, the first harvest. Jesus is the firstborn of the dead, first begotten of the dead. Some people think, well, Jesus was a created being because the Bible talks about your firstborn, first begotten. If you check that out, he's the first begotten of the dead, and in such he was the first fruits of the harvest. The harvest would come in, there would be the first fruits. That's when the fruits of the harvest, the grain, would first begin to ripen, when the first olives or the first grapes would begin to ripen, and that would be the first fruits. And in Revelation chapter 1, it talks about Jesus in verse 5, the first begotten of the dead. He is the first in the resurrection. People before that were restored to life, such as Lazarus and others that Jesus restored to life. That wasn't the resurrection. And Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection. And then Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit came upon the church. And so we can see prophetically Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost all have been fulfilled in the first coming. Jesus then left. He ascended up into heaven. And there's an interlude before you get to the fall feast. Well, what have we seen between the first and second comings of Christ? We've seen the age of grace, the church age as it's sometimes called, the time in which we now live that'll come to a conclusion with the catching away of the believers, an event called the rapture. And I will not be able to get into all of these during this half hour. We'll continue this subject in the next half hour. I encourage you to stay tuned for my program, Live with Pastor Al. We'll continue some of this, but just to give you a quick overview here, the first of the fall feasts is the Feast of Trumpets, and I believe that that will correspond to the catching away or the rapture of the believers. And then, of course, we have the Day of Atonement to be taken care of. And that, of course, will be associated with the tribulation period. And then we have the final one, the Feast of Tabernacles, which I believe will be fulfilled in the millennial reign of Christ. And so we're going to look at some of these things, hopefully, in the next half hour as well. And just a reminder again, that my name is Pastor Al Davis. I'm filling in for Pastor John Lutz here today, who was unable to make it in today. And you are listening to For the Cause of Christ, the ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church. That information will be coming up here momentarily. And then I encourage you to stay tuned. I'll be back with our program Live with Pastor Al at 1:30. And then if you can stay tuned, Pastor Andy Rusnacka will be coming on at 2 o'clock. And he's a pastor of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio. Always a good challenging message there as well. So I encourage you to stay tuned for all of that. And we will be opening up our telephone lines during the next half hour. Let me give you those numbers here real quick. If you want to write them down, you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll be opening up the phones at 1:30 and during our next program. So I encourage you, if you have a question about what we've been talking about or other things, we carry the theme questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. But I want to thank Pastor Lutz for allowing me to fill in for him today. And I want to encourage you, search the Scriptures. You know, we live in interesting times. And I'm not saying absolutely that the Lord is going to return on Rosh Hashanah for the believers or catch the believers out of the world. And certainly that's coming up 13th, 14th of September. And it's interesting, Rosh Hashanah is a very interesting start to it. It's not pegged to, for instance, the full moon or some other thing, but it's the day that they didn't know the exact day or hour that it started. Interesting, isn't it? Well, stay tuned. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.